Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hey, this is Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend, an Army vet, and also the author of American Crusade. But really, all I care about is loving and fighting for this nation, which is why I love Real Talk with Audrey Russo. She tells it like it is, understands what America represents, and ultimately is willing to fight for her. God bless this country, God bless this program, and thank God for America.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. As true communists do, the Biden regime is lying, deceiving, and pressuring Americans against their will. Is there recourse for this tyrannical overreach? And has the FBI now outlived their usefulness as it turns against the American people? Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, USAF retired, was the former Assistant Vice Chief of the USAF and Director of the Defense Performance Review, reporting directly to SecDef and the Vice President when he retired after 35 years active duty in 1994. He's a frequent military analyst on TV and national radio, including the Fox News Channel, and he's a member of the Citizens Commission on National Security. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney. Welcome back, Tom.
Thanks very much for having me, Audrey.
It's always great to have you back with us. And we got a lot to discuss here, so we're going to jump right in. The experimental jab, because it still is experimental. The listeners know we've said this before, and that the community was licensed for Europe, not for here. So this is a big fraud. It's still being pushed, despite the fact that it does not work for the purpose they said they claimed it would. And it's caused, of course, tens of thousands of deaths and hundreds of thousands of maimings. Yet, they spin it to make it a pandemic of the unvaxxed. But facts say the opposite. They say that this is actually a pandemic of the vaxxed. And they continue to block credible early treatment protocols. So what's going on here, Tom?
Well, that is a key question, Audrey. Let's start off with by saying anyone below the age of 30 has a 99.9999% survival rate. Now, why with such a high percentage of survival, anyone under 40 has got a survival rate of 99.94? Why would anyone below 40, or even you can stretch it to 50, want to get the vax?
Right.
And so those are the facts. That is what we have seen. But most of all, why is the government making it mandatory, particularly when it's a violation of the Nuremberg Code, as well as public law in the United States, which is the reason why President Biden has not signed the declaration to do it.
Right.
The violation.
Right. Listeners, did you hear that? There is no signed mandate. Am I correct?
There's correct.
No, that's it. And they're still mandating it. This is unbelievable.
And so why are the industry leaders and all these people acting like sheep and doing this when it is still an experimental vaccine? Yeah. And when we have it well under control.
Yes.
And getting rid of first responders, getting rid of medical professionals, getting rid of military people, because they are still suspicious of it. And with their survival rate, particularly on the medical side, those people have been working in hospitals and all this, they have the immunity. So it is not passing sniff test, the smell test, Audrey. Right. It does not make sense.
No, it doesn't. And then you have, of course, which I'm not surprised by, because many of the pilots in the airline industry are veterans. They're now taking a stand, which is going on the internet. They're calling it the freedom flu. They did a sick out strike because they are trying to mandate this for now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't pilots supposed to be in, I mean, tip-top shape when it comes to health?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
I mean, a very rigorous flight test annually. And so they are right up at that great survival rate. Now, when you bring that up, we just both found out yesterday.
Right.
From an email that a Delta pilot died in the cockpit and the co-pilot had to make an emergency landing. Now, there is absolutely no reason why air crews should be forced, mandatory, to take this vaccination. And I can't divulge the name, but I have a source within the U.S. military that has seen three pilots in the squad, in the group that she's involved with, that this person is involved with, that have had myocarditis. And it affects a lot of young people with a heart problem. And yet we are making it mandatory. How many other, by the way, Delta has not advertised that. Now, you know why they didn't advertise it, because no one would want to fly Delta.
Right.
But the fact is, people shouldn't be wanting to fly
at all
if the pilots have had it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Because if I don't mean to interrupt you, but what listeners also don't know about, because it was just briefly, out there, and then they pulled it back in. British Airways had mandated the jab, and four of their pilots died. And they were all healthy, and they were, they weren't elderly, of course, and they all died, and they all got jabbed. And yet they were trying to say, well, it was just a coincidence. How was four healthy men dying suddenly? How is that, a coincidence? It isn't.
When was the last time four pilots in any airline died in a brief period of time?
Yeah, exactly.
It does not happen. Yeah. So we have a problem. And the mandatory, the American people, Southwest Airlines is leading it, but the American people should stand up and say no. All rebel on it.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't put myself right now, if they're pushing the jab, I wouldn't put myself in a plane. Why would I? What if the co-pilot can't do an emergency landing somewhere?
The co-pilot had also gotten the jab and had the same.
Well, you never know, right?
Up.
Yeah, exactly. This is the situation that they are putting us in for what? A few extra bucks? I mean, really? Something's going on here, Tom.
You can imagine. Just say if that case that we were discussing, the co-pilot had the same problem, and with the beefed up doors no one knowing. They look, the stewardess look through the little window they can, and both pilots are kind of look like they're sleeping, and there's no way to get in to see them.
Right.
Think of the disaster that can occur. It should be absolutely mandatory not for air crews to get the vaccination, particularly pilots.
Right, exactly. Can they tell us how many of the, you know, when it comes to the crew, how many have died of coronavirus? I'll bet you it's like zero as a percentage. I'll bet you it's zero as a percentage across the board. This makes correct. No sense, and it is, we are being more and more endangered by these people.
And why are these people doing this, Audrey? What is their ulterior motive?
Yeah, what
does it over into other things? And here we have a flood of refugees, 200,000 a month, crossing the border, and this administration doesn't even give them a COVID check.
No, no.
And somewhere between 20 and 40% have it.
Yeah.
And yet they're making it mandatory for U.S. citizens and for people that are very healthy. Why are they doing this?
One motivation, of course, is money. But what's the other motivation? What are the other? I mean, what's the other possibilities? Because this, they're allowing them in, right? But they can't take these specialized jobs. I mean, we're talking about nurses, doctors, others in the medical profession. We're talking about those that protect us from enemies outside the country. Right, our troops.
Yeah.
We're talking about those that are flying. I mean, the pilots, the ones that are, I mean, my gosh, what are they doing? Are they intentionally? We have to believe it's intentional at this point.
It is intentional, and they are imperiling our national security across the board. Open borders, mandatory vaccination, and let's jump directly into Afghanistan, which was the greatest failure in our history of a national security issue that we have ever had since we became a republic and after in the Civil War. And why do I say that? Because we left our own people and our allies on the battlefield so a goofy guy could participate and be the hero in all three 20-year ceremonies of the end of the Afghanistan war or the war on terror. And so that's why Biden, who's a doofus, I mean, that's all we can say,
right,
made these dumb decisions. But it's even worse because the Secretary of Defense, his chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and his combatant commander, all three, that is Secretary of Defense Austin, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Milley, and Central Command Commander General McKinsey, all violated their oath to the Constitution and knew that when they would do this, that Afghanistan would fall. Now, they didn't know it would fall in 11 days. They were hoping that it would last 30 to 60 to 90, and Biden himself could reap the benefits of the success in Afghanistan. And it absolutely failed. It failed the American people, the Afghan people, and our allies, our NATO allies that were committed. But it also pointed out that we have a problem of the deep state in the Department of Defense. Let's start right at the top with General Austin. He was the Central Command commander before General McKinsey. He knew all about Afghanistan and Iraq. As a matter of fact, he did the drawdown on Iraq. He should have known what the consequences in Afghanistan would be with a precipitous withdrawal. And he should have known that when Biden came in as president and they quit giving tactical air support to the Afghan forces that were at troops in contact, they started decreasing that, and that meant the Afghan forces were going to lose. They win every time tactical air comes in. Number two, he, Austin, quit giving the Afghan forces the intelligence support that they needed of where the threat was, et cetera. Mm. Number three, they quit giving them the logistics support and supplying spare parts, ammunition, food, et cetera. And number four, they quit paying the soldiers. So the Afghan military and the government clearly saw the handwriting on the wall that this administration was doing, and why General Milley and General McKenzie did not turn in their papers and say, I will not participate with this order and I resign. And the other service chiefs should have as well, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Space Force. They all should have resigned. That way, Biden would not have done this foolish thing, and we would have had a policy which President Trump had laid out, and which we would not have lost Afghanistan after 20 years and made it a terrorist state, much better armed. And yesterday I find out they're still going to give the Afghan people aid. Audrey,
what?
Aid and paying money to them means it goes directly to the Taliban. So now we're funding a terrorist organization. Please, what's going on there?
You know, and the other thing that crosses my mind here is that what they have created here now, will Afghanistan, because it's being run by the Taliban, will it again be a threat to the U.S.?
Absolutely. A greater threat, Audrey. A greater threat, because now they have $85 billion worth of equipment. They're the best equipped terrorist force in the world. They have strong support. They're getting it financially from the U.S. The Chinese have moved into Bagram, which was a vital air base for the deterrence that we needed to put on China, on Taiwan, because it's right on the border of Western China, and it would have been a great base for our bases, our bombers, to attack and to support Taiwan if they invade Taiwan. So it was a deterrent location, one of the strategic, key strategic bases that we needed. And all these things, now as we go back, start coming full circle about what we're talking about, because we cannot let the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who thinks it's important that we teach in the military academies the critical race theory that determines white rage, that says our Constitution is white supremacy. It says the laws that we have in this country are white supremacist laws. That's what critical race theory does.
Right.
They're trying to put it into the military academies, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard Academy. Not trying to, they are putting it in. And so why is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense letting this happen? Why have the service chiefs not resigned in protest to this Marxist ideology of the critical race theory? And furthermore, on General Milley, which tells me he's part of the deep state, is why was he talking to reporters, specifically Bob Woodward, on the decisions that he made under President Trump, and yet he never talked to President Trump about them? How he warned, Audrey, as everybody has heard, that he told the Chinese equivalent of his, who's called the vice minister, he told him in October before the election and then after that, if President Trump was going to attack. Well, there was no cause for him to say that because there was no situation that involved the U.S. considering an attack on China. It just was not going to happen. So his answer was, well, I always talk to reporters. Not reporters writing a book like Bob Woodward. Please, General Milley, we're not idiots.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to showboat himself of what an important chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff he was. He should resign. And there's a group of almost 180, well, now it's almost up to 200 officers retired flag officers, Flags for America, that have written a letter. The first time in the history of the U.S. that retired flag officers have written a letter demanding that the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff resign based on their conduct of wanting to introduce a Marxist ideology into the military. And so we have a problem with the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And not only was it his pathetic performance in surrendering Afghanistan, it was not a withdrawal. There's nothing called a withdrawal that completely caves like it did and leave $85 billion worth of modern equipment to the enemy and make them stronger after 20 years than they were before they started, Audrey.
Yeah.
So it's a dereliction of duty. And in some cases, although you cannot have treason unless there's a war, it bordered on treason, his conversations with his equivalent in China.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, as a citizen, I'm concerned because they are not going to be fired. They don't have, they have no integrity as far as I'm concerned, so they're not going to resign. That means they stay in place, which makes me concerned because of the consistent, as you mentioned, indoctrination of CRT or Marxism into the troops, and then using our troops or doing a cleansing by pushing this experimental jab so that those, they assume that those are not going to get it are Trump supporters, so they get rid of them. And they're going to punish them as well. And, you know, again, this is still an experimental jab. It is not licensed in the U.S. So I'm concerned having these people in. It hasn't even been a year, and look what they've done to us.
Absolutely. 10 months, Audrey.
Yeah.
And it is the most pathetic performance. They have demeaned the name of flag officer in the U.S. military. They have demeaned it through their performance. All three of them, Austin, Milley, and McKenzie, have demeaned the general officer, flag officer rank in the U.S. military. And they must go. But do you think they're going to go?
No.
No, because they are doing what Biden, a doofus, who is unfairly elected through corruption, through cyber warfare.
Right.
As I've said in this program before, President Trump got 80 million votes. Biden got 68. And the question is, when are those audits going to come forward? We're hearing more and more about Arizona.
Right.
And the 700,000 votes that are in question, they have issues with them. And it's the difference is less than 15,000 and President Trump would have won in Arizona. Now, there's no question, there's a lot of skullduggery going on out in Arizona, and they're trying to prevent the audit facts coming out on Maricopa County. But the latest I read was 700,000 votes, ballots, that have some issues with them. Some of them don't have any fingerprints on them, which means handled them.
Right.
So how do you have, but those are examples of the corruption that went on. And that's why we're having all the issues that we have talked about. They're now trying to run through to crush the currency and the value of the U.S. dollar, a $3.5 trillion budget. That cannot stand.
No.
Where is our Republican leadership?
That's the question.
What are they doing?
Exactly. That's the question right there. That is the question we should be concerned about. Where are they? They're just quietly standing back, going along to get along, and they are complicit in the destruction of this country. There has to be something else going on here, because why are they running with all of this so quickly? Why? You know what I'm saying? It's like it's all happening too fast. Look what they're doing with the purge. It's a purge. And why are they doing this? It's not just, you know, the whole thing with the mandates is not, that's, that money is part of that. But there's something else going on here, because I have never seen such a coordinated effort before. Have you?
And creating such chaos.
Yeah.
You see, they're creating chaos. We have all these different issues. We've got the inflation. It closes down the XL pipeline, and look at the price of gas. It's $1.05 higher than it was on 20 January. He's running up inflation.
Right.
He's driving people out of the professional careers of government, for instance, as you pointed out. He has open borders with no observation whatsoever on the potential of the COVID being spread, because these people coming in at 200,000 a month are spreaders of COVID.
And many other things as well.
And many other things, because the child porn, the criminality.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It is going on. Yeah. The drugs. It's obvious that COVID-19, and each day, there's more evidence, Audrey, that COVID-19 was a deliberate biological attack, which you and I have been talking about for the last 8 or 9 months, that it's deliberate.
Right.
And base that on patterns of behavior. And it's coming out. I just heard something this morning. I'm trying to get it verified. But COVID-19 was planned back in 2015.
Right.
A whistleblower is coming out with this, but we've got to get it verified. And so when you see a deliberate biological attack, a deliberate cyber warfare attack on our election system.
Right.
And what's going on? All these cascading issues, from open borders to the vax, everything that's going on is designed to create chaos, and it all has a Marxist-Communist blend to it, and all the nation benefiting the most on every issue, to include the 50 initial presidential orders, executive orders that Biden put out within the first week or so, all benefit China.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's going on here?
Yeah.
You're asking the question.
Yeah. What's going on?
You don't have to be Machiavellian to see that it is very evil what's been going on.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, we have to wrap it up right here. But the question is, the ones that we have selected to push back against this, actually do something, are the Republicans in Congress, and they are doing zero. Tweeting, I can tweet for, they get $174,000 a year. I can tweet better for $174,000 a year. We don't need masters of the obvious. We need people that are actually going to do the job. And so that's what we have to be focusing on here, because that is the only line of defense right now against this, unless we want to have a civil war, and that we can get into next time we speak. Tom, where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work and the work of CCNS? Where can they do that?
Yes, you can do that on Citizens Commission on National Security.org. That's where this presentation will go on. It's posted, Audrey. And that's where anything I write or speak about is done, on Citizens Commission on National Security.org.
Excellent. And as always, I'll have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on-air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info that the general just shared. Thanks so much, Tom, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. Will you join us again on the show? Yes?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.